We're going to continue in a series this morning that we have started way back in September. And so if you're visiting today or you haven't heard some of the other messages, they will be, I believe, on our website at some point in time. But it's a series about childlike faith that God is revealing, and it came out of a question way back in August. And but before we do that, I felt like often we ask God for words of knowledge in before the service, and I felt like God was wanting to heal ears this morning. And so I felt like it's not just physical ears. Like some of you, you either have hearing loss or there is really decreased hearing in one of your ears. But often we also have inability to hear spiritually. And the topic I'm going to talk about today is knowing the voice of God. But I felt like God wanted to bless ears. And so if you're willing, nobody's going to force you to do anything, but if you're willing, if you could just put your fingers in your ears, I'm going to pray a prayer. If you want blessing in your ears, okay? So, yeah. Yeah. You can stand in for somebody, right? So, Jesus, obviously, I saw you healing ears this morning, and I celebrate what you do. You are the healer. And so we command for physical ears that they would come open right now in Jesus' name. And we ask for clarity for spiritual ears, that we would hear your voice with just that complete, perfect frequency. There wouldn't be static. All the static has to go. And we just celebrate what you're doing for your people. Your sons and daughters, you just long for them to live fully alive, and that comes with full hearing, and it also comes with full spiritual hearing. And we just celebrate the work that you're doing here today. And so we say, let it be done in Jesus' name. Just seal it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We'll do a quick check. Anybody who has a physical issue with ears, do you notice any difference just in the short term? Any difference since we just prayed that one little prayer? Maybe? Okay, so it could be. So that's good. We'll celebrate. Let me just celebrate. So Jesus, I celebrate the could-bes, right? I do, because we can't do that. I can't do that. And I just ask for the more. And then the one thing that I like to have fun with this, but if you notice any difference in your physical hearing as we go through this service, will you just stand up or wave your hand, and I'll stop everything. It won't offend me, and I don't think it'll offend anybody in the room if you just stop it and say, hey, this is what's going on. Like, we want to give glory to God. That's why we're here. So, okay. We're in a series about childlike faith, and last August, you're standing up. What you got? Carlene, what's going on? I thought you were stretching. All right, but I learned this last time. Last time I did this, I couldn't hear the person. What's happening really for Jesus? For
you. Well, number one, I just asked Pastor for prayer for a number of people in my life or like all around me, like serious major things that are needed. Okay. And I put my ears in my fingers in my ear and said, it is done.
Awesome, awesome.
And for me, I was just telling Edward this morning that God had to handcuff me, break my neck, break my back, bring me to my knees when he sent my fiance to Syria. And I would listen.
Yeah, so
I think I might be hearing.
Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Greater breakthrough in hearing, clarity, understanding the ways of God. In August, we were asking a question about our Freedom Dispensers ministry. And sort of, God, is there any way, what do you have for us as we approach this new sort of academic year? And is there anything that's missing or that's needed or needs to be changed? And we felt like as I approached Pastor Ken and he listened to the Lord and we had Wendy Backlund coming into town, we felt like God was saying that there's probably a mindset shift. There needs to be some shift in mindset. And sort of mindset is a way that you perceive life through a way that you think, right? There's a way of thinking, thoughts, and belief patterns, and you approach life through that. And sometimes we hold on to mindsets that aren't from the Lord. And so he needs to shift and get rid of certain ones, and he adds others, and he puts us into alignment with the kingdom, right? We just want kingdom mindsets. And And so as we sought the Lord on this, we really felt like he said, you need to add a mindset of childlike faith. That if you add a mindset of childlike faith, you will launch the ministry and advance the breakthrough that you see as you step out into that. And so I was like, okay, that's really cool. Where's that in the Bible? Right? Because if you go through the whole Bible, there's no terminology that says childlike faith. It's just not there. And so, but there is a scripture in Mark chapter 10, verse 15. It says, Jesus speaking, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. So there's something significant about children, the way children navigate life, the way children will understand and receive things that unlocks or opens up the door to be able to access the fullness of the kingdom of heaven. That we can't do as adults, like that adult mind, there's a mindset in that that it limits it. And so he's saying there's something that we need to learn about children. Again, not to become childish, right? The goal isn't to be childish, but there's something significant that often children are just dismissed, put aside. And he's saying, no, I'm going to bring children in the forefront because there's a key that we can gain from looking and exploring about how children navigate through life. And so we've been on this journey, and there were seven components that he spelled out, and we are in the sixth component, which today is knowing his voice. The other ones were adventure, trust, wonder and awe, hope, unpretentious but significant. Today we're going to do knowing his voice. And then the beginning of next month, we're going to do fun because kids know how to have fun. And the kingdom is full of fun. But in regards to our voice, I have four little boys at home, growing boys at home. Every one of them knows my voice. They know my voice. I don't have any issue recognizing my father's voice, my earthly father, when he calls me on the telephone. Like, I know his voice. And that may seem like, well, obvious, right? Your father may not even be alive anymore. But I guarantee you, you know his voice. You might not be able to explain. I can't tell you, like, how my dad's voice sounds. I can't tell you anything about, like, to describe it for you. But I know his voice. If I heard it in a crowd, I would turn. I would know that's my dad talking to me. Right? Sometimes your dad, like the voice of your dad, even who is gone, right? You hear him when you're making a decision, right? It's like, oh, you shouldn't do that. You know, like that. There's something about that. It's with us. The voice is a powerful thing. One time I was in a deli with my, I don't even know if we were engaged or anything, but anyway, Lisa, I was dating Lisa. And we're sitting at the deli. The guy who's, this is in San Francisco, the guy who's working at the deli is faced opposite from the counter, and he just saw us, recognized that we came in, and he says, hey, what do you want? And so we start sharing what we want. He's not looking at us, and I start sharing, oh, we're going to get this, this, this. And he turns around, and he says, hey, aren't you the voice of the Wildcats? I was like, yes, I am. And because in high school, we went to St. Ignatius and the Wildcats, and I had a sports broadcast show every morning that came over the PA system. And then I did games. And so this guy knew my voice. He didn't see me. He didn't know it. He probably wouldn't even recognize me, but he knew my voice. There's something significant about the voice, right? So God wants to highlight that today. And the truth is that you, whether you have relationship with Jesus this morning or not, we're created to hear and know his voice. You're created that way. We have a good father, right? He doesn't make it hard to hear his voice. He's not doing anything to set up roadblocks because he wants you to jump through hurdles and climb over mountains and so that you could hear his voice. He's going to make it really, really easy for you to hear his voice. It's what he does. John chapter 12, verse 49. We're going to do some scriptures. John chapter 12, verse 49 says this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, for I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. So when Jesus walked on earth, right, he was God. He took the form of man. He's here on earth. He only spoke what he heard the Father saying. He only spoke what he heard the Father saying. So he was really in tune with the Father's voice. As a full man. Get it? He wasn't God on earth here, and he's just got the lifeline. There's a key, like, you know, the little phone connector. It's right to him. No, with the same Holy Spirit that we access, he was able to hear his Father's voice. And he only did what he heard his Father saying. Another scripture, John 5, verse 9. These are all in John right now. John chapter 5, verse 9. It's another way of hearing that we often walk in. 5:19, excuse me. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." So he's seeing the Father and he's hearing the Father. And often when we talk about hearing God, we often get pictures and we see things in our mind's eye, and we're going to talk about that this morning. Or we hear, right? We have that still small voice that we hear. Some people hear audibly from God, right? There's a whole range, and we're going to look at some of those things. But these are two of the biggest ways that when I've, in my all my history walking with the Lord, it's seeing and hearing, and there's a sense that that's exactly what Jesus did, right? And so he was in tune with everything that the Father was doing based on what he saw the Father do and what he heard him say. He was created that way. He was wired that way. And it's a model for us of what life's supposed to be like. And it wasn't hard for Jesus. In John chapter 16, verses 12 to 15, it says this. Jesus, again, he's talking to his disciples in the upper room, and it says, "I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and will disclose it to you." The promise, as Jesus is getting ready to be crucified, risen from the dead, ascended into heaven, is that it's really good news because the Holy Spirit's going to come. And you're going to have access to a Holy Spirit who is going to reveal all of the truth of heaven based on what the Father says and does and what Jesus says and does, right? That connection. We have access to that. It isn't hard. It's actually a promise of Jesus that we're going to hold on to, and then we're walking with, and that's how we hear how to navigate through life, is through the Holy Spirit, right? One more in this section. John chapter 10, verses 2 to 4. Okay. It says this, Jesus telling a parable. He says, "But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep." He's referring to himself. And he says to him, "The doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." When you become a believer in Jesus, a spiritual transaction happens, and you come into a place where you know his voice. The sheep know his voice. It isn't hard. Again, you don't have to jump through all these hoops and things to get there. You know his voice. Can we grow in our understanding of that frequency? Yes. But the moment you accept Jesus into your heart, you get a connection with the Holy Spirit that you then become one of these sheep that knows his voice. It's huge. It's huge. Because often I work with young believers and they say, "I just can't hear God." That's just a lie. Or, "I'm not good at hearing God." And that's a huge lie, because you were created to hear God. And when you declare the lie over yourself, you're actually putting a curse on yourself. I'm saying, "My ears stink. My ears are horrible." When the truth is, no, you were created to hear God, and it's actually really easy. My kids know my voice. They didn't have to jump through hoops, right, to know my voice. Even you can tell from a baby in the mother's womb, You speak into the little belly, right? Like that type of thing is this wild, wacky thing. And somehow, you know, when they come out, they know your voice. There's something significant. So from day one, there's a sense my little children were in tune with my voice. It's the same with our Heavenly Father. He wants you to hear from Him. He's a God who speaks. He always is speaking. He's always communicating His heart for you and for those around you. Because He wants partners, right, to release the kingdom. That's really all what it's all about, right? So let's try to not do that, of saying that, man, I can't hear God's voice. Because you can. You can. You were created to. How does God speak to us, right? I made a little list. There's probably more. I think the number one way that I find God speaks to me is that still small voice. Sort of like in my spirit. I don't know, again, I don't know how to describe it. It's in reference in the scriptures, right? You see Ezekiel talks about it, or Elijah, excuse me, Elijah. It's a reference to that. But there's this still small voice where I can just hear. It's not I don't hear audibly, but in my spirit, I have a sense, you should do this, or you should encourage that person. You should walk in this, or no, that's not the way to go, right? Sometimes it's a check about a path that I'm heading. Making a decision, that still small voice. So that's one way. Another way that God often uses is sort of in my mind's eye. I don't know how else to describe that too, but like I get words that go across my mind's eye. It's sort of like your imagination, right? It's that part of your brain, but you're just sensitive to how he's speaking, or he might show a little picture of something. Often for me, it's a scroll of words. I get words that go across my mind. And that's a way that he speaks to us. Another, obviously, is the audible voice. Individuals heard the audible voice of God, right? Moses heard the audible voice of God. Scriptures are full of people hearing the audible voice of God. And many people today hear the audible voice of God, right? There's a sense. And so you could actually, he could speak to you. You have this thing. This is called the Bible. It's the Word of God, right? And as you read through the Word, often a scripture or a verse or a word jumps off the page. It's highlighted. Like you might be going through a season and you're asking questions and you're trying to figure out how should I navigate through this hard relationship or this situation. And you read your scriptures and then something just pops out. And maybe you read it like 20,000 times before, but for some reason this morning as you're reading through it, whoa, I never saw that before. Or God's saying, pay attention to this. Or there's a promise there that he's saying, that's for you because I love you. Right? So he'll use his word. Sometimes he'll direct you to a scripture. So like in my mind's eye, I'll hear Psalm 23:7, whatever, you know, and I'll go there and it's just exactly what I needed to hear. Something to hold on to for that day or the situation I'm facing. So he'll use his word often. You might get a vision. A vision's a little different than the mind's eye thing. It's like you're watching a film in your mind, right? You're seeing this situation happening, unfolding before your eyes. And so sometimes God gives you that, where it's sort of like you're there, you feel it, but you're watching it come to pass. And that's telling you something about what's going to come forward in your life or a direction you should go or not go, right? We talked about dreams, night dreams. God speaks 24/7. And if you ever want a challenge, just ask him, hey, God, would you speak to my night dream? Speak to me in my dream tonight. Open yourself up. Position yourself. Usually, one of the things that we've learned is if you put a journal to record your dreams on the side of your bed and you pray before you go to sleep, Lord, give me a dream tonight, you often will get a dream and then you'll be able to write that down. And some of it's just that first little step of like, okay, I'm going to trust God actually speaks. He will speak to my dream. And so I'm going to take that extra effort to put this by my bed and then you see what happens. So God will speak in dreams. That's in the word as well. And obviously we don't have a dream interpretation team for nothing, right? It seems like it's ramping up. I don't know about you, but there's something about dreams right now and the use of dreams in the marketplace and just in the church as well, that there's something going on where there's an increased acceleration of the interpreting of dreams and the key of that for unlocking doors and opening pathways and really coming to know more of the Father's heart. So there's something going on with that in this season. It's really interesting. God will also give through the Holy Spirit. You might get a smell. And that will reveal something. You might get a taste in your mouth. You might get a sensation, a physical sensation. These are ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Angels still speak. They do exist, right? And some people see them more than others, and some people don't see them at all. But they do exist, and in the scriptures, it records a lot of how angels came and spoke. And so that's another way that God will reveal his voice. Other people, we were created for community, right? And so someone may come and give you a word. Some may come and give you a word of encouragement. One may come and do an act of love that speaks volumes and wakes you up and says, whoa, that's the Father's heart. Or maybe they'll share a timely key thing to you, right? It's the community that we're placed in that God utilizes. As others hear God's voice, they will step out and reach out to you, right? Maybe they'll paint you a picture. Christina Smith does this all the time. She sees these pictures. She paints it, and she prays over it, and then she releases it to the person. They get to take the picture, but they also get the full weight of the anointing behind the picture. They put it up in their room, and then every time they pass that picture, there's like, whoa! The truth of the message, but also the presence that's on that picture just wrecks them. That's powerful. It's a gift that God has utilized a skill and creativity to say, I'm going to partner with who you are, who I created you to be, to release truth into other people's lives. Right? Anyway, the last one I had down here is that God could also use a donkey. Right? And see, if you've been in the church or you know Old Testament, Numbers 22, right? Balaam's donkey. Like, Balaam's this guy, and he's headed in the wrong direction, and he's sort of this question, is he going to obey God or not? And he's going down the road, and the donkey sees this angel and who's saying, stop, and Balaam's getting mad at his donkey because the donkey's finally not listening, so he's beating on the donkey, and finally the donkey turns around and says, hey, stop beating on me. Don't you know who I am? I've been your donkey for all these years, right? And ultimately, he reveals the truth. Then Balaam's eyes are opened up. He says, whoa, there's an angel. And it's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be going this way. Anyway, it's a weird story because he ends up going that way anyway. So it's a trippy one. But Numbers 22, what it showed me is that God will use whatever means necessary. If he really wants to get your attention, he will get your attention. Right? He loves you. It's not to hurt you or harm you or mess with you, it's because he loves you. And he wants your partnership in his business, ultimately. Knowing his voice was normal for church believers. So if you've been following this series, we've done this. We sort of looked at, is this a normal thing for the early church and those who walked with Jesus when he walked on the earth? And then we'll do a bunch of testimonies about how we've seen knowing his voice at play here today. So I have 6 of them. They're all in Acts. And so if you have your Bible, Acts 8:26 says this. It says, but an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up, go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. So an angel comes to Philip. Philip is just a member of the early church. This angel comes and says, go here. It doesn't say go here so that you can do this, this, and this. It just says go here. And so Philip recognizes that's an angel of the Lord, and he says, okay. So he goes. So he goes to the road, right? And what does he find? He sees this chariot coming down the road. In the chariot, there's an Ethiopian eunuch, and then he waits for the next voice, next thing. And he gets a direction, go up to the chariot. So he goes up to the chariot. The guy's looking through the scriptures. He says, do you make any sense of this? Ultimately, leads the person to the Lord. Baptism and Ethiopia today is no longer the same as a result of this encounter. But it all started with an angel speaking. Get that? Okay. Acts 9, verses 10 through 12. It says this. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight. So here's Ananias, just another believer in the early church, right? He's in Damascus. He knows the history of this guy, Saul, right, who's coming. He's a Christian killer, right, ultimately, wants to put all the Christians in prison. And God comes in a vision, So you have a combo. It's a vision, and he sees the Lord speaking, or hears the Lord speaking in the vision. And he gives really specific, go to this street, this house on the street, this man, this thing. It's real, real specific in terms of these words of knowledge. And Ananias is like, I don't want to go. Because this guy kills Christians. Anyway, so he goes through this thing. Ultimately, he ends up going. He ends up encountering Saul, right? Lays hands on him. The scales fall off his eyes. And the world as we know it is not the same, right? It's that. It came from a word in a vision from the Lord to Ananias. It's huge. Acts 13, verse 2. They're in the church in Antioch, okay? And it says, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, they're trying to get some discernment. What's the next step, right? We often do that in church, right? What's God saying this year? What's the next step for our ministry? How are we supposed to move forward? This sermon came out of that for Freedom Dispensers, right? This whole series came out of that. What's the next step, God? So here they are in Antioch. They're trying to figure out the next step. They're praying, fasting, and the Holy Spirit says, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. So he highlights these two and says, set those guys apart. Next thing you know, they have their first missionary journey, right? And then they have another couple, right? But it's this thing that they were set apart for this thing. It was highlighted by the Holy Spirit coming and just speaking and saying, this is my plan. Okay? Acts 18, verses 9 to 11 says this. Okay, this is regarding Paul. It says, and the Lord said to Paul in the night. So he's in Corinth, and he's a little bit scared. He's a little bit nervous. But this is what happens. It says, and the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you. For I have many people in this city. And so he settled there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Right? So he's worried about a situation because he's worried for his life ultimately as he sits in Corinth. Should he continue to boldly proclaim the gospel? And in a night vision, the Lord says, yes, you should. And don't worry about it because I have many people in this city and it's going to be okay. And so he plants himself in Corinth for a year and a half. And he boldly proclaims the gospel in that city, right? He got direction from the Lord and the Holy Spirit. Last one, Acts 23, verse 11. It also deals with Paul. He's in Jerusalem. There's a conspiracy on his life again. He's spoken boldly in Jerusalem to the leaders and the government officials there. And this is what happens. It says, but on the night immediately following, the Lord stood at his side and said, take courage. Right, so the Lord stands by his side. The Lord is speaking and says, take courage, for as you have solemnly witnessed to my cause at Jerusalem, so you must witness at Rome also. And so there's a word, a promise that, yes, you boldly preached the truth here in Jerusalem. You are going to preach the word in Rome. If Paul knew what it was going to take to get from Jerusalem to Rome, I don't know he would have been so excited. But, right, because if you know the rest of the story. But the reality is he has a word that, hell or high water, you're going to Rome, right? It may not look really good, but you're going to Rome, and you will boldly proclaim the gospel in Rome, right? And that gave him direction for the next section of his life, obviously. Okay, so do you guys think the scriptures support that God speaks? Yeah, and there's pretty many more, right? But it's just the basic. All right. Now, what about today? Is it the same today? Yeah? I think so. Let me give you a couple examples. So this is a whole gamut. And, we're just looking at the time. The testimonies are fun. So we're doing this project. We're loving on the Redwood Gospel Mission, and an open door was given to us. And they asked us to come in every Thursday morning to ultimately pray for the residents and to provide prayer. Anybody who wants it, to have prayer for the residents. And so we've been doing that. And the first day that we had a person, so we spent months of just sowing and worshiping and interceding in the place. Finally, it got opened up that we could get our first person to come in. Pastor Ken is with us. And the guy sits down And Ken basically says, do you have any digestive issues? So he got a word of knowledge about this guy's stomach. Something's messed up in his digestive system. And if you would have looked at what the guy looked at Ken like, who are you? How do you know that? And he goes into this whole story about the past couple days, his digestive system's all wrecked. Anyway, we prayed for his digestive system. Then Ken got another word of knowledge about his feet and ankles. And he was like, how did you know that? And when he was a kid or a teenager or something like that, he had an issue with his ankles and feet, and he got them hurt. And they've hurt all these years. Anyway, we prayed for it, and he got a huge measure of relief and healing based on a word of knowledge. Holy Spirit just giving Ken just a glimpse. Hey, say this. But what it spoke to the man was that God knows me. He's revealing something to you that you should have no way of knowing, and he's sharing it with you. And in the process, I'm getting blessed because I'm getting healed, right? It's amazing. Anyway, another word of knowledge. Rodney and I go out Thursday mornings, and we go on these treasure hunt things. And basically, a treasure hunt is basically we hear some clues from God. It usually gives us a place, direction, some indicators about a person or something that they need, and we go and we look and we find those. And so sometimes we find them, sometimes we don't, but most times we find them. Rodney got a weird one morning, and they're often weird, but he heard Railroad Square, striped shirt, military connection, somehow involving missiles, and they have a friend that needs prayer and blessing. Okay, so that's the clue. He got these five clues, right? You're thinking, all right, Rodney, this is good. So we go to Railroad Square. We just come out of the church. We come over here. We go to Railroad Square. And we turn, and right in front of Aroma Roasters, there's a woman in this striped shirt that was sort of exactly what Rodney had pictured. And he looks at me, and he looks at the woman. He's like, nah, that can't be her. You know, like, she military, missiles, there's no way. And so I was like, all right. So we start driving away. And we were going to go to my clues. I had other clues in a different part of the city. And I looked at him. I just started laughing. I said, so wait, you're not going to try? He's like, oh, I guess I got to. So we drive back. We go back to Aromas. He pulls in. He parks. He goes into the coffee shop. By this time, this woman has ordered a drink. She's sitting at a table. And Rodney goes up to her all like, okay, this is going to sound really weird. Sure enough, this woman has a friend who's in deep need, who's involved in the military, does missile launching type things and creating missiles, whatever like that. And it opened up a whole door of a conversation and releasing of prayer and blessing into this person and her husband. They're crazy, all right? So that's the kind of fun stuff. Anyway, I had a clue one time over on Sonoma Avenue. There's these those big statues of Buddha. I call them the Happy Buddhas. I don't know what it's called, but it's right there on Sonoma Avenue. And I heard yellow, black lumberjack shirt, depression, right? Were two keys. So we go there, and we're standing out there, and we're not seeing anybody with these clues. And all of a sudden, a guy pulls up, and it's like so. A guy parks. He gets out of his car, and he was wearing like sort of a lumberjack shirt, but it wasn't my colors. And so I was like, yeah, I guess not. But nobody else is really around, right? And just out of the blue, he just pulls up. And so Rodney says, he sort of has a lumberjack shirt. It's good to go in pairs because we sort of challenge each other. And I was like, I got nothing to lose. I go up to the guy and I shared what I was doing. He is a believer. And he said, you know, this has been one of the hardest years of my life. And he had just buried his brother, and his in the midst of caring for his brother, his whole business had gotten wrecked because he didn't spend any time on his business. He was just trying to come back out of that and sort of rebuild it. I got to pray for him, and it was just a powerful encounter with this guy who had the wrong color shirt, right? But God put us in a location to be able to partner with heaven to release life into a man who has just been experiencing hell, ultimately. You see what I'm saying? It's powerful. All right, others. There's a guy who, his name's Canyon, and many of you have heard his name. And we got an SOS call to go to the ICU unit about a month or 2 months ago now and to say, hey, he got in a car accident. His life's on the line. Will you guys send someone to go pray for him? So me and Rodney happened to be available. We went and prayed for this guy. Worst case I've ever seen. I've never seen anybody in worse situation. I'm sure if you work in hospitals, you've seen worse, but I've never seen anything that I saw before my eyes that day. And But we came in with confidence, right? God, obviously, if you're saying, let's go, that's what we're here for. You're the God of resurrection power. And so we spoke life into him. Ultimately, he ended up getting well enough to be transferred to another facility down in Marin, where it's sort of working on his issues. And we heard at Bible study one night, we weren't even talking about this guy, but at Bible study one night, God brought him up to Rodney and said, he's going to be healed significantly on his birthday. His birthday was February 21st. And we had seen that on the chart at the hospital. And God said, February 21st is going to be a marker day, shifting things for this person. Sure enough, we get a call from his foster mom. On his actual birthday was when he woke up. And things started shifting in a positive direction. And it was just amazing. And so we were able to go down and we were able to meet with him. We were able to talk with him. This is a guy who was going to die. Now he's talking to us. He's still working on his issues, brain issues, right? It takes a little while. You don't know what's going on. We have some words for his life. And anyway, we had a great conversation with him. This Wednesday, he goes home. It's huge. It's huge. All right. Anyway, all right, let's do some life ones. In 1989, I was at a crisis in my life because I just became a Christian prior to this, and I felt like I was attending Sonoma or St. Mary's College in the East Bay. Go Gales. And I felt like God said, go to Sonoma State. I was in my end of my sophomore year. Go to Sonoma State. Oh, Sonoma State? Why do I want to go to Sonoma State? I'm at a great college with a lot of tradition and history in my family. And a good road, track to where I want to be. And God said, go to Sonoma State. And I was like, what are you kidding me? So I basically gave God an ultimatum. I said, God, I'm going to stay here another semester. If you really want me to go to Sonoma State, you better make it loud and clear that you want me to go to Sonoma State. And so I remember one day I was driving. My parents live in San Rafael right now. And I was driving to their house. And as I was driving to their house, I happened to be behind a little white truck. And the back of that truck said Sonoma. I had never, ever seen a Sonoma truck before. I don't forget who makes it, but just said Sonoma. And God said, boom. And it was like it hit my heart, my spirit. It was like, that's for me. And I came to Sonoma State that next semester, and my life has never been the same, really and truly. It's the best decision I ever made. And it's what the Lord has done. It's a phenomenal. He will do whatever he says. In last April, almost a year ago, when Lisa and I were faced with a housing crisis, I felt like I heard the voice of the Lord say, you will buy a house. We own a house. We own part of a house, right? But we own a house. I got time for two more. Let's see. We'll do this one. I was driving a couple weeks ago. If you know my heart, right now I'm pressing a lot for creative miracles. I really believe that it's a season for creative miracles. And I've made some sort of negotiating with Father God, right, about what I will do if I ever see a person who's in need of a creative miracle. And so I was driving over here on Wilson, and I saw a man in a wheelchair coming down the road who was missing his left leg, I believe it is. And I was headed to a meeting, and so I was like, I was just going to go to my meeting. And God said to me in my spirit, he said, you said you would stop if I brought a person across your path. And I was like, okay. So I pulled around. This guy was booking in his wheelchair, but I pulled around. I got to a place. I was able to stop. His name's Amos. And I got out and I shared, hey, I know this might sound crazy, but I truly believe that God could give you a new leg because there's testimonies of it. It's huge. And they come out fast, apparently. It's really easy, actually. And so the cool thing was Amos is a believer, and he knows those testimonies. It wasn't strange or foreign to him at all. And so we just stood there on the side of the road, and we got to pray healing and blessing into his leg. His leg didn't grow out that day, but I have a promise from the Lord. He's going to have a new leg. I really believe it. But the encounter, he felt so loved that someone would stop, that recognized him, and so love into his life to believe the impossible and then actually declare it in his presence. Like there was something significant about the encounter. Like every person we encounter, the one thing that I can truly say They always walk away feeling loved. They always feel loved. The miracle may not happen in the moment, but they always feel loved. I've never had a negative interaction or exchange with somebody. Some people, they don't want anything. Like, no, I'm not interested. But I've never had somebody who we actually prayed for or released something that they didn't walk away feeling loved. And the God is love, right? That's who he is. Okay. Sometimes God might just give you a quick thing and say, hey, send a text to Costas, right? And so it's his voice saying, hey, encourage somebody in the house, right? Write a little note, make a phone call, et cetera, et cetera. Night dreams happen often. My wife has a ton of them, and they're pretty amazing. And so I get some of them, and I'm growing in that. But, okay, let's talk turkey. What about when what you hear doesn't come to pass? What do you do? So today's a big day, and I'll explain why. But years ago, I forget how many years ago it is now, three years ago maybe, there's a little girl named Anna, and she was dying. And the Freedom Dispensers team and myself really felt like she was going to be healed. And we heard some clear words about her, and we heard some clear words about her future and about her destiny and the generations that would come through her. And it was, I don't know, I can only hear how I hear, right? There was nothing different about the way I heard in this situation than in any other situation where I had seen breakthrough or hadn't seen breakthrough. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I hear. And so we declare what you hear with boldness because that's what we do. And so I heard real clear words about this little girl, Anna. Well, Anna died, right? So I'm set. Okay, what do I do with that, God? And he really brought me through a process that I needed to share my heart with him. Like, God, that sucks, right? That's really, like, I heard this, and I wanted these things. You start caring for people that God puts people in your life. You care for them even though you don't really know them. Like, it's crazy, but it's how it is. And he gives you his heart for them. And so in this exchange, it was like, that was really a hard thing. And so I had to communicate all that to God. The second step in handling disappointment is you listen. Like, you give him time to speak. And God usually has something to say. He may not say, this is why this happened. He might. But usually he'll say something. I forget the specific things he said to me, but he spoke some things. And then there's a season of sort of waiting, staying close till you get peace. There's that peace that passes understanding. There's a peace that he releases, like, I got this. There's a lot of mystery in the kingdom. I got this. You don't necessarily need to understand all the ins and outs. But there's something about if you do those other steps, but you don't get the peace, you'll never be able to live fully alive, really and truly. And the other is if you have disappointments and you just try to shove it over here and you never really walk through it and work through it with the Lord in any area of your life, you will never be able to live fully alive because you have to go through that stuff to get on this side, because on this side is when you can focus on, okay, what's he doing now? And how can I partner with heaven in the midst of this, right? And so this very afternoon, there's Ron Redmond and Lenora and myself are going to Oakland Memorial Hospital, General Hospital, to pray for a little girl who has a brain tumor. Her name's Danica. We're going to pray for her in a second. She has a brain tumor, and we're going to head down, and we're going to release healing and life to this little girl. And I don't think I could do that if God didn't take me through these steps. And so if you're facing a situation where you're like, did I hear the voice of God right? Like when we're disappointed, we sort of go through this introspection and the enemy has a field day with that. And he's like, yeah, you don't know how to hear the voice of the Lord. Yeah, you misheard it. And then you led people in that. How could you do that? Right? And if I start eating that, I'll never be able to lead people into something to pray for another person over here. Right? It could be any area of your life though, right? You make a career decision and it just tanks, but you felt like you heard the Lord. Hey, you're supposed to do this. And it just ends up in the crapper, right? Like, and you're like, what did I do? And yet the reality is sometimes God leads you in a direction and you're just saying yes as best you can hear. And you end up in a place that same God can lift you right out of that place and take you on the path. There's probably lessons and things that you learned in that journey that God allowed you to walk through right? And again, I don't understand the mystery of it. But the reality is we have a good Father, and he's never going to leave you in a bad place. And so the next time, if you don't work through that disappointment here, though, you'll never launch out into the next big thing that he calls you that takes a ton of faith. You just won't. You'll always be scared. You'll live in fear. And the kingdom and fear don't go hand in hand. Perfect love casts out fear. You cannot operate fully alive partnering with a little pocket of fear. Just no fear. So we're supposed to meant to live in boldness. And I think the key is, if you don't work through past disappointment, when you feel like what you felt like you heard doesn't come to pass, you will be stuck. And so if anybody here is in that situation and you want freedom today, please come up to the prayer team at the end of the service, because there's freedom. There's freedom. Don't go and say, yeah, I'm just going to stay with this, because you're meant to be fully alive. All right. I think we'll pray. Jesus, I give you glory today. And I thank you that you modeled what it looks like to hear and see what the Father is doing. And then you promised and you delivered on the promise that when you went to heaven, that the Holy Spirit would be released here. And he would be the one that would guide us into all truth and give us all wisdom as we navigate through life. And I thank you for that promise. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence, that it's really true, that you're the one who guides us and leads us and directs us, and that you don't make it hard to hear and know your voice. And so thank you that we were created, every single person in this room was created to hear and know your voice. And that you, Father, as a good Father, you don't make it hard for us to know your voice. And so I just dispel any of the lies that we've operated, any of the mindsets around hearing your voice that we've operated that says it's really difficult, or you make it hard, or I'm not one of those who can hear easily. I just break that off in Jesus' precious name. And I declare the truth again, that as a son or daughter, you were meant to hear his voice. And he makes it easy to hear his voice. He wants you to hear his voice, to lead and direct and to guide in all things. And I celebrate that. You're always speaking, Jesus. And then, Jesus, I pray that you would take us on an adventure in these next days and weeks to come of an acceleration in the partnering with your voice. That just like those like Philip and Ananias, that you can say, hey, go to this house, this street, this color house, this person, and we can listen to release kingdom. You're the same God yesterday, today, and forever, right? This truth that you can give us that type of clarification. Thanks for the testimonies of words of knowledge that in this message even. There's many more, but thank you for those specific clues that you said, hey, I want you to love on this person. And I just pray that you would awaken your church, your sons and daughters here, of the power of the kingdom of heaven that we have at our disposal, the wealth of love and joy and hope and life that we have as sons and daughters to release to all those around us in our neighborhoods, workplaces, schools, marketplace, just wherever we go. And so, Lord, would you give us a desire to be in tune that clearly to walk in the adventures that you prepared in advance for us to do, right? It's those greater works. I celebrate the greater works, Jesus, that you called us into and that you're calling us into. And would you pour out that spirit of adventure on your church today? Yeah. And then, Lord, for anybody who's faced disappointment, where they heard a word or they walked a path they felt like you were leading and it didn't end up the way that they thought it was going to go, Lord, would you pour out your grace today and your peace that passes understanding and lead them through a process of healing and restoration to get back to a place where they can trust what they hear again, so that they can truly be launched out in their own personal life and destiny and in the lives of those around them. That they would not operate from a spirit of fear, but they would have a sound mind, and that they would live out of with confidence and boldness of who their identity as sons. Sons and daughters know your voice. It's just the truth. And so would you seal that work as well this morning? In Jesus' precious name. Amen.